endorsement or other sponsors. It's time for the Edge Broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guest as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. You can find out about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Gordon, welcome to the program.
How are you doing? I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to you before the show, how that you have bees. You got bees trained to come to you. Now, Gordon, come on now.
But what I would like to say to tie together the agriculture subject with 2012 mm-hmm. is get your pen out and a blank piece of paper, because you've got to understand what the president just signed. President Obama, in all his ultimate wisdom, signed an executive order 13575. He signed it on June 9th, and it establishes a White House Rural Council. Now, this Rural Council cannot be any more clear evidence that they expect poll shift any day now than this one executive order. And they have the total power to declare martial law, seize any amount of land, put any number of people in any house, take any crops, take anything that happens where food is grown, they now have total control over with this executive order 13575 signed June 9th. And just to give you an idea of who's in charge of rural, on this rural, okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the Rural Council. Now you're going to say, huh, I didn't know all that had to do with the rural lands. But when you think about poll shift, you'll see why. The first member of the Rural Council is the Department of the Treasury, mm-hmm. then the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, the Department of the Interior. Well, okay, that's where agriculture is. Mm-hmm. So I can understand number four, the Department of the Interior. Then yep. the Department of Commerce. Okay, you ship the food around. Then the Department of Labor. Okay, you're going to hire some people. Department of Health and Human Services. Well, you know, what if they're not manufacturing the food up to certain standards? This is all what you'd be thinking why he's doing this. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Oh, so now we're going to be regulating housing, too. Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, Department of Education, Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security. Yes, your farm. Department of Homeland Security is now in charge of it. The Environmental Protection Agency, and, of course, you know how important radio waves are to growing crops, the Federal Communications Commission. So there you have it. There is a brand new White House Rural Council, and what they're going to do is try and place people that survive the New Madrid Fault, the widening of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and the earthquakes in California that devastate the agricultural land. They're going to try and take these mass mobs, declare martial law, and move people out to empty houses. Or if you might just be sitting, I mean, one of your listeners at least is going to have this happen to them. The government's going to come and say, here's five new families that are moving into your house. I don't care if you all fit in that house. This is your new home. They're your new roommates.
Hey, I'm not liking that.
Well, I mean, you know, in the worst of circumstances, you're going to want to help somebody, but you might not want to help who the government tells you to help.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so you're saying that is direct evidence that they know a poll shift is coming, and so they want to be able to take everybody's stuff from them and reallocate. Probably
this gives those agencies the total power to do anything they want with rural America.
Hmm. Which is, rural America is the last bastion of freedom, I'd have to say.
Well, I'd like to tell you some of the other agencies that are involved in this Rural Council. Are you ready? Now, you've got to be listening while I say this. You have okay. to be listening of how they're going to fit into the Rural America plan.
Okay.
The Office of Management and Budget, the Office of Science and Technology, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Council of Economic Advisors, the Domestic Policy Council, the National Economic Council, the Small Business Administration, the Council on Environmental Quality, and the White House Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs, I have no idea what they do, and the White House Office of Cabinet Affairs, and, get this, such other executive branch departments, agencies, and offices as the Secretary of Agriculture may designate from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, what they're doing is they're giving this new rural council the total power with all agencies to coordinate anything they want to do with rural America.
Okay, now I'm not liking it. Well, it seems to me that they're going to have to do something with the people's ownership of guns. You got anything on that? When are they going to take them?
Well, no, it's just, you know, you've got Homeland Security is agency number 13 out of 25. Just sits right on the top of the heap there.
Mm-hmm.
You make two columns, Homeland Security is on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing, is they're not admitting it. NASA's not going to talk about the pictures they're taking, and yet all the plans are moving forward. Well, this is the first actual plan that I can think of that might be designed to help anybody, because their other alternative was to do nothing, and when pole shift happens, just call out the troops, which we're just bringing a lot of troops back to put on duty in the United States right this minute. We're moving tanks around and armored personnel carriers, artillery, and bullets and shells, all kinds of stuff. We're moving all over the interior of the United States right now.
Really?
There's been a lot of news on the internet about that. But so if there was going to be pole shift, the one thing you could figure is the troops are going to come out, declare martial law, and if you don't do what they say, you'll be shot. So now we have something with the Department of Agriculture and all these other agencies that are going to work, coordinate farmland and food growing. So I'm not saying anybody would like that, but I can't think of anything else that the government's done that indicates that they are willing to do anything humanitarian, if you call this humanitarian, because martial law I wouldn't call humanitarian. But, you know, there's going to be a bad situation, and I have no doubt there's going to be riots. And probably anybody listening realizes if we really are going to have pole shift, then there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be angry and are going to start raping, looting, and robbing.
Well, now you're up there on that mountaintop there, Gordon. I mean, obviously you're going to be safe. If people start coming up your mountain, are you going to hand them the goods, or are you going to pull the trigger?
Well, I'm not going to pull the trigger, but I don't have any goods for them to steal, so I'm going to move on. But this is going to be an island after pole shift, so they're going to have a boat and know how to go on salt water to get to me, and that's after a 600-foot tidal wave, and you saw what the 33-foot tsunami did in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a 600-footer.
Okay, and that 600-foot tidal wave's coming from what?
Well, as the Earth spins, believe it or not, all the water accumulates around the equator. So if the crust detaches from the core and it stops spinning, all the water heads back to the poles.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the crust reattaches, now all the water's in the wrong place. So it's going to sweep back towards the equator on all sides of the globe at very high speeds and bring in a 600-foot tidal surge for the entire Earth. And as 50% of the world's population, at least, I think more, but I've heard 50%, lives on the seacoast, this is very bad for at least half the population of the world. After pole shift, I don't care what Monsanto thinks they're doing now, after pole shift, there's not going to be any Monsanto. So if you have bees, you're going to want to be able to get along with them. You've got to figure out, if you're in a good, safe area up above the coasts, and you're not going to be taken in by a 600-foot tidal wave, then, and you have beehives and other things, you've got to figure out how you're going to eat. And beehives and chickens are like the easiest things to start, and they're very rewarding. People have got to be self-sufficient, because this is absolutely happening.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that bee pollen is the only food known to man that a human could live on solely?
They take nectar and make honey, and they take the protein out of the flower, the pollen, and they put that in separate cells in the hive, and pollen is protein.
Mm-hmm.
So you could live off bee pollen. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gordon, let's see if we can tie a couple of events together with this pole shift and aliens coming down. And then in Washington, we have this big debt ceiling debate. Isn't that just moot? I mean, aren't they just wasting time if all this is
working out? Oh, Daniel. Well, I call it rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, it's unbelievable. The thing is look at what's happening in Africa. The European nations are desperate to capture Libya. You've got to realize Gaddafi was one of the greatest friends the United States has ever had. You've got to realize he's gone along with everything any Western power wanted. He's let them have oil. Libya is the wealthiest, best educated, most middle class country in Africa. And we're part of it, of course. We're invading, NATO's invading North Africa. So you got to ask yourself, what in the heck is going on with that? And the reason why is the European governments, just the way the Obama and the White House is reading Zeta Talk, the European governments are reading it too, and they're looking at the map. And all of Northern Europe is going to be underwater. Mm-hmm. The wave is going to be channeled in these valleys and actually go over the mountain passes in Switzerland and fill some of the interior valleys of Switzerland with salt water. So they have no place to go. So they don't want to be in Egypt because that's going to be underwater. Mm-hmm. And there's no way they could take Algeria and Morocco from the natives. That would be like trying to take Afghanistan from the Taliban. Forget it. You know what I mean? Their best shot is going ashore in Libya and then going to the interior highlands of North Africa that's in the south part of Libya. And these are the kinds of things that are happening right in front of our faces. Why are we in so many wars? Why have we had an army in South Korea since, what, 1951? Mm-hmm. We've had an army in Germany. The German people have wonderful social services. No wonder they don't have to pay for any weapons or a Department of Defense. Our army has been in Germany since 1945. Mm-hmm. We're the ones defending them, so they don't have a defense budget. How do you like that?
Somebody wrote in, want to know if you heard that FEMA just got a contract for $40 billion worth of dehydrated food.
Oh, I know more than that. First of all, it was $1 billion. Second of all the freeze-dried manufacturers stopped producing for the public and produced just for FEMA.
Well,
and
no good
when I was in New Mexico in April, I met somebody who lives next to Kokomo, Indiana, and that's where the huge government bunkers are. There's two places where they intend to continue martial law, and that's Kokomo, Indiana, and Denver, Colorado. And they live near the entrance to the tunnels under Kokomo. And they said tractor trailers with freeze-dried food were lined up right over the horizon, bringing that $1 billion worth of freeze-dried food into the bunkers under Kokomo. Now, I had thought, okay, they're getting ready for the New Madrid Fault. And isn't that nice? When 40 million people are homeless, they're going to take this freeze-dried food and feed them. But now I realize, no, they're not. That's for the government, for the troops, for the elite, for the rich, for the powerful, the military-industrial complex. That's to protect their own.
So you're saying that the freeze-dried food makers have stopped making food?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they've completed their orders, but this was a while ago. This was still in the winter when they got the order to for $1 billion worth of free dried. And you don't say to FEMA, well, I'll do it later. FEMA said, this is now.
But if you grow your own food, it takes months for food to grow. So if there's an event and you're getting washed out, you know, with 600 foot of water, your garden ain't going to grow pretty much under the sea. So,
well, that's right. That's why you have to be inland. When pole shift ends, it will be the equivalent of August. So here in the United States, we're still going to be in the northern hemisphere, and August is not a time to plant any crops. We're going to be warmer than we were because the North Pole is going to be further away. It's going to be 100 miles northeast of Recife, Brazil, out in the Atlantic Ocean, just offshore of Recife, Brazil. The whole western half of the country from the Mississippi west is going to be almost tropical. very rainy and nice. So there won't be any severe winters, so it's possible those people may actually be able to grow something. And people that have greenhouses and other ways will be able to. But those first 6 months are going to be pretty tough, because if cold shift ends and it's August, it's not going to be a pretty picture.
What's going to happen to the UK? Are they going underwater too?
Well, they're going underwater even before the pole shift. There's going to be, listen, I've got to tell your listeners, this is the greatest free program you've ever seen. I mean, I can't believe it's free. It's called eQuake 3D. Look that up. Download it. It shows the Earth, and you can control the speed the Earth rotates. You can change the angle that you're looking at, and it shows every earthquake. And then you push now, there's a little button called now, and it shows any quakes that have happened since the last time you pushed it. And it's, oh, it's a beautiful screensaver. But
what's
eQuake
3D. eQuake 3D.
eQuake 3D. It's a free download. It takes 2 minutes to install it. It's 800K. You guys are going to love it. If you ever liked computer graphics, this is just going to blow your mind. And you see all the earthquakes on the Earth, and you can see, and you can make the rings for each quake bigger. You can go back a week or just have today's quakes. You can illustrate them with lines from the sky. And you'll see that there's the most earthquakes every day are happening in the Puerto Rico Trench and west to the Central American area of Guatemala and southern Mexico.
Okay, so...
But the Great Atlantic Rift is having some big quakes up in Iceland, down in between South America and Africa, and you can see them on this eQuake 3D. And what's going to happen is the rift is going to widen, and when it does, it's going to send a 300-foot wall of water over the UK, which is going to continue because the southern UK is completely lowlands. Excuse me. And then it's going to wipe out Denmark and all the Baltic lowlands. So the Prime Minister of the UK, Cameron, keeps having these meetings that they call the Baltic Economic Council. Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do. Once they close the doors, they're talking about, listen, would Sweden be willing to take all the people from Denmark? Answer, no. Would Norway be willing to take all the people from Denmark? Answer, no. Would Russia be willing to take the people from the lowlands of Poland and Germany and Lithuania? No. Mm-hmm. So nobody wants to help anybody. So everybody's going to be stuck exactly where they are now, and this is going to happen even though the powers that be have known of this for 60 years. It's going to happen, and the thing is, if you don't help yourself, if you don't take what I'm telling you seriously and look into it for yourself, you could be one of those people that's like, oh, damn, he was right. Why didn't I listen to him? Why didn't I do something? Actually, I think right now I have to walk 2 miles to the ocean, but soon I'm going to walk about 1,000 feet.
Gordon, we've got the alien contacts. Why don't they give us the technology to save the human race from this 600-foot tidal wave that's going to, and the pole shift is going to put a lot of people down there in the octopus's garden?
Well, the thing is, after the pole shift, they're going to help the survivors if they're unselfish. They're actually going to come down and give them some batteries and probably some inverters and some other stuff. I don't even know all the stuff they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But they are planning to help people, but they have to wait until all the governments collapse first. What NASA's been up to all these years for 60 years, and I didn't even get to discuss that tonight, I hope you'll have me back.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we had a video stream issue, so we're going to run the show a little bit further along, so why don't you go ahead and tell us about that? If you got the time, we can do
it. Okay, yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to go over.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is that I just found out that for the whole 60 years the United States has had a space program, the entire thing, all of it, not any part is left out, was for one reason, which was to save the elite and the powerful and the wealthy so that they could come back as kings of the earth after the pole shift. And they have had the most ridiculous plans. One plan, which they implemented, which luckily the unselfish ETs have prevented, but in the last 10 years, every single satellite launched by the United States and Russia has been designed with nuclear bombs on board, H-bombs, and they were all aimed at Planet X, and they were going to come in through the atmosphere and blow up together. The space station was designed to be the master control for synchronizing all these satellites, and they were going to try and blow Planet X out of its trajectory to keep pole shift from happening. A couple of them were aimed at Jupiter. One of them crashed on the backside of Jupiter, and that was because it was loaded with hydrogen bombs. So it was the stupidest idea, but they've actually been doing it. And all our satellites, like the Cassini probe and Galileo and all these other probes, all were loaded with H-bombs, and they were planning to aim them at, have them on these various projects, and then at one moment notice, coordinate them all and have them all in a synchronized fashion come through the atmosphere of Planet X and supposedly knock it out of its orbit, which it wouldn't do because it's four times the size of Earth, and we don't have enough nuclear bombs to move it anywhere, but we sure would piss off the people that live there.
I see the live chat's going crazy. They're all screaming, when is the pole shift?
Okay, we're in 7 out of 10 now. 10 out of 10 is pole shift. 7 of 10 will be complete, which is what we're in now. It'll be complete when Japan is shattered, and within hours, the New Madrid fault goes off. And then within hours of that, the Atlantic rips wider, and the rift widens and sends a 300-foot tidal wave towards England. At the same time, the northern part of South America is going to move west into the Pacific. When all of that happens, that will be the end of 7, and we'll move to 8 out of 10. And 8 and 9 out of 10 are basically large earthquake affairs. And I'm talking quakes of 9 or 10. A lot of my buildings are built on runners, so they don't have foundations. They have a ring in the front. They're built on beams that are like runners. And I have a ring at the front of them, and I can take my tractor and hook a chain to it, and I can pull it to a location. And if it falls over, I can use the tractor to straighten it up again.
That's if your tractor doesn't get hit with an EMP pulse and it knocks out the ignition.
Well, it's diesel, so I don't worry about the ignition.
All right, man. Sounds like you got these bases covered there, Gordon.
Well, I've been thinking about this for a long time. You've got to remember, they've already said from the moment that the world sees it, when it finally gets free enough of the sun so you don't burn your eyes out trying to look at it,
right,
from that moment on, it's 7.3 weeks until pole shift. And it will take 3 days for the whole world to realize, oh, my God, what's that? And during those 3 days, people are going to stop flying planes. They're going to stop showing up for work as a policeman or as a fireman or at the power plant or at the nuke plant. And all hell is going to break loose. There's probably going to be rioting in grocery stores and fuel stations. And it's just unimaginable what might happen.
Have you guys ever...